Black Country Radio Sport.
Hello there, my name's Adam Parks and you're very welcome to another edition of the Black Country Sportscast. In this particular edition, we look back at the weekend that was, a very busy weekend, which featured the FA Cup. It featured Wolves and Villa in home action, and it also featured plenty of local rugby as well. So action and interviews to come over the next hour as we look back at the weekend that was and the busy weekend it was, which featured the second qualifying round of the Emirates FA Cup, which featured three of our local sides in Sporting Kelsa, Stourbridge and Halsoin Town. Sporting Kelsa had an away trip to Kettering Town from Tier 3, whereas both Stourbridge and Halsoin Town had home games at Amblecote and the Grove respectively. Stourbridge were taking on Northern Premier League side Strugglers Matlock Town, whereas Halsoin Town took on fellow Southern Central side Alvechurch, which was managed by former Stourbridge manager Ian Long. Of course, Ian Long has moved away from Alvechurch since it was reported on Sunday morning that the two had decided to split company. So Ian Long now looking for another position, no doubt, and we'll hear from Ian Long about the performance against Halsoin Town a little later in the programme. We'll also hear from Paul Smith and Leon Broadhurst in due course as well. We'll look back at Villa against Crystal Palace and also Wolves against Liverpool, and in our rugby roundup, it's Dudley Kingsford against Loughborough Students and Stourbridge Rugby against Old Halsonians in what was a local battle at Stourton Park this weekend. But we start off the action at a combination of the Grove and Amblecote as we bring you match highlights of what happened on Saturday afternoon in two of our featured games in the second qualifying round of the FA Cup. Nick Pullin and Steve Parker were at Halsoin, and elsewhere Jack Lewis and Roy Felstead were at Amblecote to bring all the action.
Black Country Radio Sport.
Back here at the Grove, unfortunately we just missed a goal, but we'll tell you about it. Really good work from the Yelts down the left hand side. Jack Holmes twisting and turning with Tom Parker, got the ball out to the edge of the area with Macaulay Manning, and Macaulay Manning finished it. Great move and a great goal, Nick.
Yes, it was. It was all a bit too easy, really. Ironically, it followed a really good opening chance for Alvechurch when George broke down the right and crossed for Janelle Gordon at the far post. Could have done a bit better, I thought, but Halsoin have responded, and as we saw there, Jack Holmes, who seems to be at the heart of everything Halsoin do at the moment, sweeps in across for Manning to sweep home, as it were. So, yes, an excellent start for Halsoin.
Goal here at Stourbridge. Stourbridge against Matlock Town. Tell us about it. It's Jack Lewis.
It's number four, Alex Prosser, just being able to stick the ball at the near post. The goalkeeper should really do better there, in all honesty. Great ball over the top, just inside the area, and it was just at the near post. He slotted home. It's 1-0 Stourbridge.
That's it. The volley has got us underway. Stourbridge 1, Matlock Town 0.
2, Okafor. Okafor heads it on. Macaulay Manning racing into the air, beats the keeper, puts it in the net. Halsoin 2, Alvechurch 0. Macaulay Manning, double somersault. Second goal of the game. Brilliant finish. Great through ball.
OK,
Macaulay Manning, Paul Essam will tell us what the official time goals was, but Manning's second goal of the game had loads to do.
For the 37th minute, scoreboard number 11, Macaulay Manning.
37 minutes. And Jack Hickman has raced further forward up on the halfway into the yard half. Kieran Donnelly's looking for it. Nathan Hayward's looking for it. He's coming to him. Macaulay Manning is robbed from behind from Josh Dugmore. Alfred's trying to break, but Todd Parker's nicked it over to Rhys Mitchell, racing forward. He could even have a shot himself. He's twisting and turning. Is he going to get a shot away? Chipping him. Oh! He's put it in! It's a left putter. His bullet's on his right. He's clear. Chipped it past Zaylee into the far corner. How's Owen 3? Half-Church nil. Macaulay Manning. Manning twisting and turning. He's beating his man. He got a shirt ball. Referee again got a decision to make and doesn't make it. Back to Ryan Winter on the halfway line. Feeding it out to Jack Hickman. Hickman overlapping Macaulay Manning. Edge of the box. Twisting, turning. Can he get his shot away? Gets his shot away. Puts it in the net. Macaulay Manning hat-trick. Beat the keeper all ends up, flies it into the far corner. Another super finish from Macaulay Manning. As he drops his gear on the floor, picks it up. Nick Bullen was super. Super finish. Good ball fed out to the right hand side. Macaulay Manning on his left foot. Puts it in the far corner. Super finish, good move all round, Nick.
Oh yes, Hellzone are looking dominant now. I think Old Church heads are beginning to drop a little bit now because they're not really getting it anywhere up front, so they keep losing the second ball to Hellzone picking up. One thing you know about an Ian Long side is that they will fight to the end, but it really is beginning to look a hopeless cause now. And as Macaulay Manning, I mean, he's had a super game. Hasn't he? Three superbly taken goals, and the hat trick a crowning glory for it at the moment. So, yes, this is only going one way now.
Yeah, just missed a goal. Hellzone now 5-0 up, ball through to Miracle Okavor. I'll just do a couple of substitutions and then we'll tell you about the goal as well. It's Josh Dugmore who's going off for Alp Church and Charlie Emery who's coming on. And looks like a double substitution for the Alps. It will be Ryan Booth and Rich Gregory coming on.
Just find out. Joshua Dugmore. He's 14,
Mackenzie Lapp. Yeltsin's substitution just been delayed from Hughes. Nick, another great finish. Okafor finally took this one.
Yes, I don't think he was going to turn this one down. As we can see, the floodgates are beginning to open now. And I think it's just simply a case of how many Hellzone are going to score at the moment. And I think after missing the string of glorious chances in the first half, Miracle Okafor looking to make amends as he goes through again, but he's just denied again. Despite Hellzone appeals for a penalty, it took some hefty tackling to knock him off the ball, but Hellzone rampant at the moment. And
Glasboys fans can relax a little bit more as Stourbridge have taken a two-goal lead over Matlock Town in this FA Cup second-round qualifier. Describe the goal for us, Jack.
Well, we discussed him before the game, and he came very close shortly before. He's just taken his opportunity just before he struck the cross, struck the left-hand post from distance, and now he's just about controlled the ball outside the area. It was a right-footed shot into the bottom corner of Dean. His net, and we can all breathe a little bit easier now.
That's it. That's Luke Bembo getting the second goal of the afternoon, the first one for him. Joy around the ground. So here it is, a Stourbridge 2, Matlock Town 0.
Con Cannon, and he's put it in. Al Church has got them back. Con Cannon, poor defence from the Yeltsin, it has to be said. and the clean sheet goes missing, but Concannon makes it Alzo in 5, Abchurch 1, 10 steps, which is about 4 more than the Yelts Wall were waiting for. Dan Platt organising his wall. Yelts certainly wouldn't want to concede another one, but it's another free kick to Alchurch. Jumps up and down, twisted, gets it through, goes into the Yelts Wall. But Chong's got it, and Chong puts it in, and it's 5-2. Yelts concede another one. Kobe Chong, I think it was, might have been Ross Evans. Either way, it's Hazo in 5, Alchurch 2. So we and referee saying the hadn't been taken in the right place. So Hazo in 5, Alchurch 0, Hazo, Alchurch
4. Church in the 94th minute, scored by number 16, Ross Evans.
Ross Evans in the 94th minute. Yelts getting on the tuck, and Rich Gregory gets a shot away, well saved. And that's the final action of this second half, and indeed the game. Super game, super performance by the Yelts once again. I guess they'll be disappointed by conceding 2 in the second half, but 5 ahead at the time. Macaulay Manning hat-trick, Reece Mitchell, and then a goal from Miracle Okafor in the second half.
Thank you for your support here at the ground.
Hello there, Adam. Thank you very much. Yes, I've been here with Jack Lewis this afternoon to watch the Stourbridge team win by 2-0 over Matlock Town and go through the next round of the FA Cup. Started out really well and bright for them in the first half. Daniels hitting the crossbar within 10 minutes, and just a couple of minutes later, Alex Prosser getting a left-footed volley to and top of the goalkeeper's left. It's a goal. Lovely to watch that going in. And it was mostly Stourbridge in the first part of the first half, but Matlock came back into it, and we were watching some very good football. You could tell that these two teams play at the same sort of level, one from the Northern Premier and one from the Southern Premier. It was still 1-0 at half time with one yellow card in the game, and that was for the manager of Matlock Town after he thought the second time he had been warned about it, disagreeing with the officials, and it was possibly due to a handball that we thought from here was an actual handball against the Stourbridge side. But 1-0 at half time it was. We're going to the second half, and again a bright start for the Glass Boys, and Prosser trying to get his second goal, well saved by the goalkeeper Flint, who seemed to have been the man of the match from at least Jack's point of view. We'll hear from Jack in a moment that he got a shot off and looking really well. Again, Matlock came back into the game, and it was very close throughout the rest of the second half until that man Bembo turned up and did the work for him. Some substitutions, I should have mentioned just before that, Arish Dyche, who was formerly of this parish, was substituted, and just a couple of or so minutes later on, Bembo managed a 1-2 with a light-minded Stabby's substitution, Anna Bowen, 1-2 with him, and it was Bembo who managed to get the second goal, and all around the ground, people were relaxing for the last 10 minutes or so. Still more chances in the game. Bembo hit the bar again. Prosser had another shot that was saved, and it was all very good all the way through to the end. It was I think a deserved victory for the Glass Boys. I'm just going to ask Jack what he's thought. Yeah, deserved win.
Oh, I'd say so. It looked quite nervy at times, especially during the end of the first half. And then during the second half, it did seem that Stourbridge had got a handle on things. The second goal, as you say, with Bembo, it was very well taken. It just looked like the pressure had eased off there. The final 10 minutes with Matlock chasing the game, and they lacked a little bit of luck, you have to say. But at the end of the day, I would say it was a fair result. Yeah.
That's it. And you agree, man of the match for you was Flint?
Absolutely, yeah. He looked great. He took his goal very well. Sorry, apologies. He took some really good opportunities at one end, and then some very good defensive work, especially with an opportunity-saving tackle down the other end. So very much so, he did perform very well today.
Black Country Radio Sports.
So Jack Lewis and Roy Felstead at Amblecote watching Stourbridge get through against Matt Locktown, and elsewhere Steve Parker and Nick Pullen watching Hal's Owen Town thrash Alvechurch. Well, after the game, Steve caught up with the Hal's Owen Town manager, Paul Smith.
After finishing this FA Cup, Hal's Owen Town 5, Alvechurch 2, Paul Smith's come out and joined us. Paul, you're probably disappointed with the two goals conceded towards the end, but your thoughts on the performance overall?
I thought it was a good performance. I think we created numerous chances in the first half, and I don't think we took a large enough proportion of those. They're a young side, Alvechurch, and you can see that they lack that little bit of experience, and I think we've sort of dominated large parts of the game and thoroughly deserve the win. And as you said, I'm bitterly disappointed with the two goals to concede. It's sloppy from us. We conceded three bad ones on Tuesday night, but did enough to go and get a win at Stourbridge, and we've conceded two sloppy ones today, albeit the game was done by then. So yeah, it's still lots for us to work on, but we're playing some lovely stuff at times and creating lots of good chances. So it's an FA Cup tie, and all that matters in the FA Cup is that you win the game and you get through into the hat on Monday. So that's what the boys have done.
Yeah, I've just been a presentation from Macaulay Manning after 100 and some odd appearances. First of all, I've no idea where that time goes, and I'm not sure you would have. And then a brilliant hat-trick today as well.
He's maturing as a player. The best thing I can probably say about Mini Mac is that he's maturing as a player and as a lad, and he's getting better and better at the moment. And we see those kind of things week in, week out at training, and he's slowly now, this season, I think, already turning that into matches and performances, and I think he's been brilliant since the start of the season, as has a number of players. But Mini's improvement over the last 12 to 18 months is he's bouncing, and I'm really pleased for him. He's a great kid, one I've had for a hell of a long time, and he's good enough to go and bounce performances like that out. So yeah, really pleased for him. He just needs to use this as a springboard now to go again and be better.
And then a real surprise to some of us, probably less so for you, Reece Mitchell scoring with a right foot shot.
Yeah, it was a great strike, wasn't it? It's one of those that sometimes they go over the stand, sometimes they go in the top corner, and he's hit the top corner. So, again, how good's Reece Mitchell been since he's been at the club? He's settled straight in. He's been a steady 7 or 8 out of 10 every single time he's played, and he's fitted in with the boys brilliantly. So, yeah, it's another good goal for us. And I think we've scored a fair few decent goals this year, haven't we? I think there's been a pick already of some very, very good finishes. So, yeah, like I say, Miracle had an off day today, and he beat himself up a little bit, so it was great to see him finally get one when he probably could have had a hat-trick in the first half. So great to see him get on the scoreline. We have come through it injury-free, which is good. Josh Hawker's back now, available, as he says. You see, we've got a full squad bouncing into another busy fixture list.
Yeah, I guess the striker psychology, as you say, Miracle missed a few in first half. It probably makes you feel a whole lot better. It's a bit like getting a birdie on the 18th hole when you've had a bad round of golf. You know, scoring in the second half would have done him the world of good.
Yeah, 100%. Miracle's an absolute diamond of a striker, and he's going to be very, very good. He's young, he's raw, he's not the finished article, but the work he puts in his performances since he's been here has been second to none. We know how important he is to our group, so listen, we pick him up, we go again, and it was great to see him score that goal. So we've all put it down to him missing those first chances about the new haircuts. He had a haircut this morning, and we're not very happy about it, so he's not to have any more haircuts until he starts scoring again.
Yeah, this is the finite things that make it a bit quieter on the touchline for you compared to Tuesday night as well, wasn't it?
Yes, it was, yeah. We'll leave Tuesday alone. We went and got 3 points, three brilliant points, and that's all that matters to me. So that's that one. We bounce into today. We've got another FA Cup game, which we've won. So we're on real good form at the moment. Boys are nice and tight, and we look forward to the draw on Monday.
Any preferences, or just at home?
Just home, yeah. I'm confident that we can put in a real good performance at home against anybody. So yeah, we just like a home draw.
Brilliant. More great entertainment. Thanks, Paul.
Lovely. Thanks, gents. Thanks, gentlemen.
Paul Smith talking to Steve Parker after that victory by 5-2 against Alvechurch on Saturday afternoon. And Hal's Owen Town have been given a home tie against Enfield Town from the Isthmian League Premier Division in the third qualifying round, and that will take place a week on Saturday. Well, after the game, Steve also spoke to Alvechurch manager at the time, Ian Long, after that defeat by 5-2.
On the pitch with Alvechurch manager Ian Long after they've just been defeated in this FA Cup tie by Hal's Owen Town. Ian, what are your thoughts on today's game?
Yeah, been hammered, didn't we, really? I think the scoreline flatters us, really, 5-2. It could have been a lot more if it weren't for our keeper. massively second best, and I think it's down to the fact, really, when you look at it, you've got Alzo and have got all their first, hit their first targets in terms of recruitment, kept the players they wanted to keep, and we were decimated in the summer. I think it was 12 players in total we lost last season, 4 sold on, and that's the difference, really. We haven't recruited well this season, and obviously that's down to me.
Yeah, it's always difficult in these things, and I suppose last year you had such a great cup run as well, and now it's come to a halt a bit too early.
Yeah, like I say, the FA Cup was great for us last season. We've done really, really well. We earned a lot of money out of the competition, and it's just a sorry state the way we were today to go out with a whimper, really. Well beaten by a much better side. All credit to Alzo, and can't take anything away from him. But by far the better side.
I can't remember whether you've got a game on Tuesday, but you need a week's training to get ready for next Saturday, whatever happens.
I think these need 6 months training, this lot. I don't know if that would work either. Yeah, well, that in itself is something else. We don't train with the intensity that we've wanted to. This group hasn't reached the heights in training either, and that's always a worrying sign. I've just said to him in there, you know, that's the 10-game mark. That is now 8 league games, 2 FA Cups. It's not working. I'm never going to panic. I'm quite an experienced manager now.
Yeah, yeah.
But, that's the 10-game mark now, and I've got to look to shake that up now, because today and other games this season, it's been way below the standards we expect here at this club.
Well, good luck. You're a hard-working manager from the Black Country who's doing his stuff as always. And some days it's just kicks you at where it hurts, doesn't it, Pobble?
Yeah. This one's hurt today. The manner of the defeat, like I say. Went out with a whimper. That's not a side of mine. No, over the years we've always had really competitive sides and hard-working sides, and that doesn't epitomise anything about me, that performance today.
Right, really appreciate you talking to us.
No problem at all.
Thanks, sir.
Ian Long talking to Steve Parker, and that was that as far as his managerial career at Alvechurch was concerned. Following that defeat, the manager and the club parted company on Sunday morning. Alvechurch, 16th in the Southern Central Division, played out 1-2, drawn 2 and lost 4, 2 points above the drop zone at the moment. But you could tell that he wasn't happy with the players that he'd been left with for the season ahead, and he could quite easily tell you the difference between Halsall in town and Alvechurch. Very much men against boys on Saturday afternoon. We hope that Ian Long finds another role very soon, because we know that he can put a squad together, and Alvechurch on more than one occasion while he was there were dark horses and ended up in playoffs and having good seasons and having good FA Cup runs despite all the odds, really. So Ian Long, certainly one to watch out for. That's if he wants it. I know he's perhaps thinking a bit more about his life rather than his football career, so it will be up to Ian eventually as to what he decides to do, but we all wish him well here from Black Country Radio. As for Leon Broadhurst, his side through to the next stage of the Emirates FA Cup, where they will be drawn at home against Mikulova Sports, or Mikulova as they tend to be called nowadays, who have had the most wonderful start to the Southern Central Premier Division. They're 8 points clear at the top of the table, with still a 100% record of play date 1-8. After the game, Roy Felstead spoke to Stourbridge manager Leon Broadhurst.
Well, Leon, good day at the office today.
Yeah, the main objective, obviously, at half one was to be in the draw on Monday, and however we did it, if we grinded it out, if we played brilliant football, obviously it was just about being in the draw for the next round of the FA Cup, and that's exactly what we did.
You got a good start, didn't you?
Yeah, and that's the first time this season, really, that we've started with that tempo and took the opportunity when it's fell to us, and obviously it was a great finish by Proza after 7 minutes, but it was also how we reacted after that. We tried to keep the tempo up as long as we possibly could. We knew that they were going to have a spell, and that's exactly what they did after about half an hour. They had 15 minutes up to half time, where they was on top, But we grinded it out, and it was nice to see.
Yeah, so come about, well, at half-time, it was 1-0. As you said, you deservedly were in the lead there against Matlock. We thought they were going to come at you, but again, second half, you started really well again.
Yeah, at half-time, I wasn't particularly happy, to be honest with you. I wasn't happy with the level of performance for the first 45 minutes. Yes, we played well in spells. Yes, we played 25 minutes of good football. Yes, we were in the lead, but I've seen the lads play a lot better, and that's something that... Obviously, I stressed at half-time is that it's half-time and we need to improve. It's as simple as that. And I thought second half, we came out a lot more like us. We played on the front foot. We won more first and second balls, and we allowed our front four to play in the right areas and the right pockets to create opportunities, and that's exactly what we did.
Good substitutions happened there, and then the goal that followed.
Yeah, I thought the substitutions were brilliant. No, but it's a squad game. We've played a lot of football. Still got Dexter coming back from injury. He wasn't 100%. Still got Brent coming back from injury. He wasn't 100%. So in my game plan was always to mix it up, to try and do the job, and then bring pace on and a bit of experience. And I think it paid dividend today, because as soon as they did come on, it gave Matt Locke something else to think about, especially with Stan, with Stan's pace. But also from our game plan, it enabled us to change and put the ball in behind a little bit more and a little bit quicker, and that's exactly what we did. And obviously, I think 2-0, it could have been 3 or 4.
I would say the post was being hit by both sides during the match. A lot of excitement and entertainment for the fans today. Do you think they've gone home happy?
I hope so. Yeah. I think the fans came down on Tuesday, which was a great game for a neutral. But we had to win. With the league form being two defeats in a row. Yes, we played well. We played probably the best we've played all season at Needham. But it's all fine margins. You have to take your chances when you're on top. And today, thankfully, that's exactly what we did.
So on to the league. But before we talk about league, anything, it's a bit early in the competition to ask this question, but anybody you fancy the next round? I heard that the Yelts had got through.
Oh, obviously, we'll look forward to the draw. Obviously, I'd like a home draw. If it was Hales Owen, then 100%, it would be, again, a great game of football. And they're in a great form at the moment. They're doing extremely well. But I'd love to put that to a stop, if I was honest. So we'll see, mate. We'll see who comes out on Monday. And then we'll prepare and plan right for the next round of the Cup.
Lovely. Thank you, Leon.
That's Roy Felsted, who spoke to Leon Broadhurst after the game. So Stourbridge are at home against Mickleova in the third qualifying round. A couple of other results to give you from that second qualifying round. Rush Olympic eventually got through against Carlton Town at Dells Lane, winning by 3-2. But Sporting Kelso went out of the competition. They were defeated in Northamptonshire by Kettering Town by 1-0, the only goal of the game coming in the first half. So a look ahead to some of the other games to come in the FA Cup. On Monday evening, there's a second qualifying round tie between Redditch United and Peterborough Sports. And then as far as the third qualifying round is concerned, look at some of the ties which were drawn. Stourbridge against Mickleova, we know about. Kettering Town will now be away at Hitchin Town. In some of the other ties, as we know, Halzone Town take on Enfield Town. Culville Town host Tamworth, which is it used to be an all-Southern Central tie, but Tamworth, of course, got promoted last season. Bromsgrove Sporting will be at home against either Ware or Chelmsford, so I bet they'll be glad it's a home tie. Rush Olympic are at home against Boston United. Probably the same applies there, although Rush should be used to doing a bit of travelling. And if Redditch United get through against Peterborough Sports, they'll be at home against Needham Market. So lots of home ties for the West Midlands sides. Now to some of the other action over the weekend. We'll start off in the Vanarama National League North, where the televised game was between Kidderminster Harriers and Solihull Moors. And there was only one game at goal in the game, and it was watched by Michael Dimbelow.
Well, the score here is Kidderminster Harriers 0, Solihull Moors 1. It was a bit of a mix-up in the Harriers' defence. There was a hesitation between the defender and the keeper from a free kick which was floated in from the Moors, and that hesitation cost them dear. because there was Mark Beck to dot the ball on, and therefore Matty Warburton to rise to head the ball into the back of the net on 15 minutes. It was a bit of a mistake from Christian Dibble, but the score, as I said now, is Kidderminster Harriers 0, Solihull Moors 1.
And that's how we finish. Kidderminster Harriers 0, Solihull Moors 1, which means that Kiddy drop into the bottom three. They have 7 points from 9 games. They're in the bottom three on goal difference, with York City just above them. At the top of the table, Solihull Moors in second place. They have 19 from 9. Chesterfield top the table at the moment with 22 points from 9 games. And that is looking good for the Derbyshire side, who won away at Ebbsfleet United by 1-0 at the weekend. Let's have a look at one or two other scores from the weekend's action in the MPL Midlands division. First of all, there was an excellent victory for Leigh Town, who've moved up to 7th place in the table. They won at home against Sutton Coldfield Town, who I believe have since sacked their manager. Leigh Town winning by 2-0, but it wasn't a good afternoon for Walsall Wood. They lost away at Loughborough Dynamo by 4-0, and Walsall Wood currently find themselves in 15th place in the MPL Midlands division. Sporting Kelsall, of course, were in FA Cup action, so they are in third in the table, 12 points from 5 games. Spalding ahead of them, 12 points from 4 games, and top of the table now at Bedworth United with 16 points, but they have played 7 games, and Bedworth beat Gresley Rovers away by 3-0 on Saturday afternoon. Let's move on to the Midland Football League, and one of our featured games was Stourport Swifts, who were taking on High Flyers Romulus at Castle Vale, and this game was watched by our reporter from Switch Radio, who is Kevin, and Kev caught up with us after the game, Kevin Moore, and this is how the game finished.
Yeah, thanks, Adam. The full-time score at the Castlevale Stadium finished Romulus 0, Stourport Swifts 1. So Romulus suffered their first home league defeat, their first league defeat, I should say, of the season in the MFL Premier Division. Tight affair all round, but some key talking points throughout the game has to be said. During the start of the first half, about 20 minutes in, an enforced change by Neil to the Romulus manager, who was actually Louis O'Connor. The number 8 had to leave the field of play earlier than expected, replaced by Paul Ibberden. But Ibberden was making some impact, creating some chances throughout the first half when he came on the field of play. But the goal that was scored in the dying moments of the first half, a great strike from distance, good 25 yards out, good cool finish by Aaron Birch, putting the ball past Lewis Williams, the Romulus goalkeeper, to make sure that Stourport Swifts went into the break 1-0 up. However, one could argue very strongly Roms should have closed down the space a lot quicker to allow to actually allow Aaron Birch the freedom to shoot from distance. Romulus through everything in the second half made lots of tactical changes. Neil Tooth pretty much used the entire bench in the second half, bringing on Robert Tanner, Finley Douglas, Marcellia, and also Mason Stevens. But the resolute defence of Ethan Hansen and Ben Jevons, in particular Stourport back line, dealt with a lot of aerial threats from Romulus, a lot of set piece, a lot of corners and free kicks. But it wasn't to be for Romulus this afternoon, so they suffered their first league defeat of the season at the Castlevale Stadium. The Stourport Swifts shot on the arm for themselves, really, because they're probably going to come to the game thinking they weren't very risking anything out of this match. Romulus had the better form before this afternoon, but the final score at the Castlevale Stadium is finished. Romulus 0, Stourport Swifts 1.
Kevin Moore from Switch Radio reporting for us. Other results from the Midland Football League Premier Division from Saturday: Highgate United beat Dudley Town by 3-0. Litchfield City thrashed Wolverhampton Casuals by 5-1. Northwich Victoria beat AFC Wolfrunians by 2-0. And in other matches, Bewdley Town got a 1-1 draw away at Whitchurch Alport. As far as the First Division was concerned on Saturday afternoon, for our local sides, Cradley Town got an excellent 3-1 home victory against Shawbury United. OJM Black Country won at home against Ingles by 2-1. Smethwick Rangers were defeated at Paget Rangers by 3-2, but there was victory for Bilston Town Community, who won at Sutton United by 3-2. The league tables for the Midland Football League Premier Division: were Studley and Highgate United top the table, both on 16 points, with Studley top on goal difference. For our local sides, AFC Wolfrunians are in 8th, Stourport Swifts in 9th, Darlaston Town in 11th, Tividale in 14th, Dudley Town are currently in 15th place, and Bewdley Town in 16th. As far as Division 1 Midlands is concerned. Hinckley AFC have a 4-point advantage at the top of the table with 25 points from 10 games. Cradley Town are doing really well, third in the table after last season's dismal run. They are third with 19 from 10. Elsewhere, OJ and Black Country are in 8th place. Wensfield and 11th, Bilston Town Community are currently in 12th, AFC Bridge North in 17th, and Smith Rangers currently in 18th place on the table. And there's plenty more action taking place in both divisions this week. In the Midland, it's the Midland Football League Cup actually taking place on Tuesday evening, where OJ and Black Country take on Studley, and that'll be an interesting game, which OJ and Black Country will look to progress in that particular competition at the Triple X Sports Association ground. That brings you up to date with the local football from a non-league perspective. Now let's look ahead, or look back rather, at the action as far as league football was concerned.
Black Country Radio Sport.
And we start off at Molineux, where the lunchtime kickoff on Saturday afternoon saw Wolves take on Liverpool. And it was certainly a game of two halves, as our reporter Frank Watson reported.
Absolutely, the proverbial game of two halves. Wolves totally dominant in the first period, led through Hwang Hee-chan's 7th-minute goal following a great run from Pedro Neto down the left, slid the ball across, and Hwang finished from a narrow angle on the far post, but should have gone further ahead while they were on top. Mateus Cunha in particular missing a close-range header that he should have scored, and several other opportunities went begging just before the break. Liverpool almost equalised, but a scramble and a good save from Jose Sarr saw Wolves into the half-time break with the lead. But almost, you could almost feel it in the ground that everybody was thinking they should have got further ahead. And so it proved, as Liverpool made several changes, changed shape first of all. Gakpo got them back into it with a tap-in from a Mo Salah cross, was immediately substituted, as was Diogo Jota, and Wolves suffered as Liverpool made the changes, brought on Luis Diaz and Darwin Nunes, whose pace up front was always going to cause problems. They had to wait until, they nearly hung on, they had to wait until the 85th minute, Liverpool, before taking the lead. It was a poor clearance from Jose Sarr. Andy Robertson picked it up, exchanged passes with Mo Salah and finished neatly from close range. Really good goal. And then as Wolves tired and ran out of ideas, Liverpool got the third in stoppage time. Harvey Elliott's left foot shot from the edge of the box, deflecting off Hugo Bueno. Just too much for Wolves to do. They'll rue the missed chances. Played really well first half, but Liverpool to the top of the table with a 3-1 win.
They can't keep missing these chances. It was the same against Manchester United, the first game of the season, where it was a dominant Wolves performance, but they ended up losing to a sucker punch a few minutes from time, and it just seems that this has happened again.
Yeah, absolutely. Liverpool, you could say, were there for the taking. They're missing two of their regular back four, Trent Alexander-Arnold and Virgil van Dijk, of course. Wolves were brilliant the first half. They really were, as well as I've seen them play for a couple of years, I would say. But as you say, they can't keep missing chances. They just haven't got that out-and-out goal scorer, have they? And it certainly isn't, on the basis of what we saw today, it isn't Mateus Cunha, because he plays really well all over the field, but just doesn't seem to have the ability to stay cool when he gets into a position to score.
Well, he's a creator rather than a finisher from what I've seen of him so far.
Well, that's the problem, isn't it, I think, for Wolves, that they, you know, for a couple of years now have been saying, well, since Raul's injury, really, they haven't replaced him as with an out-and-out goal scorer, and it's coming back to bite them, I think. Gary O'Neill will have seen that quite clearly today.
Well, at Liverpool, they don't seem to me to be the Liverpool of old at the moment, but they can still get 3 points if they need it.
They have been the Liverpool of old, I think, until today. I think most people were quite taken aback by how poor they were in the first half an hour, particularly. But Jurgen Klopp, he's got such strength on the bench, hasn't he? And made some changes. I mean, they had a debutant centre-back who's come through their academy today in Kwanzaa, and he played quite well. But basically, I think Liverpool, they're not as tight at the back as they used to be when you look back to the really great sides, but they're still pretty potent going forward. And Mo Salah didn't score today, but he was involved in two of the goals. And Darwin Nunez, a real handful when he came on.
And again, Salah did miss the sitter just before half-time, so I suppose Wolves fans should be grateful for something, otherwise it might have made for a different second half. Looking ahead, I mean, you've done a lot of reporting for us over the last couple of seasons, and you've watched a lot of the Wolves. Is it going to be another dogfight again this season at the bottom of the table?
Do you know, I don't think so, if they can find the back of the net. I mean, in that first half, they really could have had three or four. And if they play like that against some of the lesser sides, I would imagine that, you know, there'll be more than enough for them. But if you can't score goals, you're always going to struggle in this league. And I think that's been the case now for a couple of years, and it really needs to be addressed.
Frank, appreciate your help as always, and no doubt what we'll try to do when you're next on, we'll try and talk about the cricket about Worcestershire, because the season will be over by then, so we'll catch up with you then.
Thanks. We will do. They're still in with a chance of promotion, of course.
Let's keep our fingers crossed. Thanks for now, Frank.
Okay, bye-bye.
That's Frank Watson, who spoke to me live from Molineux after the game on Saturday afternoon. Well, also, Villa were at home on Saturday. They took on Crystal Palace in what ended up being a very dramatic game. It was watched by our reporter Clive Edwards.
I am, yes, and what a finish it was as well, because there's more to it than that, as you're probably aware, because Palace were ahead. It was a pretty tame first half, I thought. Villa had most of the possession. Then Edwards scored a goal for Palace just after half-time. It looked as though it was Palace's game, because Villa weren't looking great. And then Duran scored a belter in the 87th minute. He'd come on as sub, 19-year-old Colombian, and he just blasted the ball past Sam Johnson, the Palace keeper. That looked like a point saved for Aston Villa. Then into injury time, I think it was about 4 minutes into additional time, the referee awarded a penalty, Ollie Watkins having been brought down. VAR told the referee, come and have a second look. So he took a lengthy second look at this, and I reckon he looked at it for 3 or 4 minutes and stuck with his decision. Very unusual, very controversial. It'd be worth watching again tonight. You know, Palace fans are going to disagree with that decision, and I think many others will as well. Maybe the player got the ball first, maybe he didn't. Anyway, Douglas Luiz scored the penalty, 2-1 Villa, a crestfallen Crystal Palace, wide open now, were split open again, and Leon Bailey scored the third for Aston Villa. So what looks like an easy victory for Villa was far from it. It was a very controversial game, exciting at the end, but should the referee have overturned his own decision? That'll be for debate.
Well, it is for debate, because obviously it's such a rarity that it happens, a referee turns over his own decision.
I mean, you know, I've looked at it several times, and I honestly thought that the Palace defender actually did get the ball first. He did bring Watkins down, but after he had touched the ball. I don't know whether that should be a penalty or not. I really don't know.
Ultimately, Villa got another 3 points, and well, sadly, we know that Roy Hodgson isn't well today and wasn't at the game, so he won't be feeling any better. But Villa have sort of kept the momentum going after the international break, which is all important. It don't matter how you get the 3 points, as long as you get the 3 points.
Yeah, and they should have scored two or three in the first half, to be honest. You know, Ollie Watkins had a couple of decent chances. Matty Cash had two very good chances, and perhaps should have put at least one of them away. And very early on, a good save by Sam Johnston kept out Diaby, I think it was. And, you know, VAR did work against Villa in the first half, because Diaby scored what looked like a good goal, but VAR ruled him offside. I mean, VAR was correct on that one, of course, but, you know, Villa will say it evens itself out in the end.
Just a line or two, because I know you follow them as well, in Wolverhampton Wanderers, defeated in the end by Liverpool. And the problem is, as we said to each other last season, just can't score goals.
Yes, I mean, I know that the bookies don't fancy Wolves' chances of climbing out of this position. I do. What do you think? I think they'll be okay.
Well, I was quite surprised.
No, they don't score many.
Well, I know, and I'm the ever pessimist when it comes to Wolves, but Frank Watson was at the game covering it, and he said exactly the same as you, that he's more positive than perhaps I am, and he's seen that Wolves have created enough chances and positivity. Like, the first half was very much all Wolves, but they didn't put their chances away. If they'd put their chances away, the game would have been all over by half time, and we might have been talking about something completely different. The fact of the matter is that they're not scoring the goals that they're creating, they're not putting them away, and hence a team like Liverpool are going to punish you in the second half.
You rightly predicted last season, though, that come the transfer window, Wolves would make some decent signings and would steer clear, and that's exactly what they did, and we may well be finding ourselves in the same position this season. They'll need some good recruitment in January. I mean, it looks to me as though Luton and Sheffield United are, they're going in the wrong direction, aren't they? So there's just one other space to be filled, and we've got to hope that, Wolves can not be that club.
What did you make?
I don't think it's as wide open as it was last season. I think it. There are two clear relegation candidates here in Sheffield United and Luton. I don't think they've come up with the right attitude. I don't think they even intended to stay in the Premier League. I know that's a horrible thing to say, but there looks to be an absence of planning on their part, an absence of ambition, and so they'll go straight down. Then one of the side will go, and I think Wolves are good enough to stay out of it.
Yeah, I think Everton will go down, but that's just. I think Everton should have gone down last season, to be honest. But
Absolutely. Yeah.
Just your thought about Gary O'Neill, his appointment, because I've not spoken to you since he was appointed as Wolves manager.
Well, it's a risk, isn't it? I mean, he did a grand job with Bournemouth, but it is a risk. I mean, he's a good coach, but I think at Premier League level, you need to be more than a good coach.
Mm-hmm.
You need something extra than that. You need... I think you need more Premier League experience than he's got.
Mm. And it's rare
for... I hope I'm wrong.
It's rare for an English manager to do well, in recent seasons. I can only really think of Eddie Howe, who's gone on to progress.
Yeah, I mean, O'Brien may well have learned a lot from Eddie Howe, but I just don't think he's that man yet, do you?
Not at the moment. Given time, you don't know. But you know from the fact Wolves are creating the chances that they are, that they've got the nucleus of something there. It's just converting them into goals now, isn't it?
They've got talent, haven't they? And I don't know. Yeah, as you say, they need goals, and it may well take till January to find that person who will score for them if they've got the money to spend, which I suspect they will have.
And just one final.
I mean, talking about managers. I mean, when Villa went, I think they were 3-1 up. I think they'd scored that final goal. The ball came over the top, and Matty Cash for Villa got the ball inside his own area and hoofed it downfield. I thought Unai Emery was going to go absolutely bananas with him. He shrieked and jumped up and down like a madman on the touchline, because he does not want his Villa side to play a panic game. He insists that they always keep their head and play football. And it's that kind of imposing his will on the game that I think that Unai Emery has, that makes him a very, very good Premier League manager. And I don't think that the Wolves manager has got that. He doesn't have that kind of authority.
Have Villa got what it takes to compete in both the Premier League domestic cup competitions and Europe?
I wonder about that, but I think they're going to learn a lot from the European adventure. I think that will teach them a lot about the game. They've got some good players, no question about it. Your question, though, is have they got strength in depth? I doubt that they have at the moment, but I think they'll enjoy their Thursday nights. I really do. I think that they will learn a lot from the whole experience of playing a different style of football. It will do them good. They may not have such a great season in the Premier League this season, but I think some of their players will mature and develop as a result of playing in the Europa Conference.
And you'll have to get used to doing some reporting on a Sunday afternoon by the looks of things.
Yes, indeed. I don't mind that.
Clive, appreciate your help. Thank you for your help this
afternoon.
Always a pleasure.
Talking
to you. Take care.
And you.
Bye.
Clive Edwards talking to me from Villa Park after Villa had come from behind to snatch a late win against Crystal Palace on Saturday afternoon. In other results in the Championship on Saturday, Bristol City held West Bromwich Albion to a goalless draw, and Birmingham City somewhat surprisingly lost at Vicarage Road against Watford and ended up with 10 men on the pitch, Watford winning by 2-0. It means the Blues are in 6th in the Championship and West Bromwich Albion are in 13th. And in League 2 on Saturday afternoon, Walsall also ended up with just 10 men on the pitch as they were defeated at Swindon Town by 2-0.
Black Country Radio Sport.
Now we move on to local rugby, and starting off with Dudley King Swinford, who took on a tough side in Loughborough Students in the National League 2 West on Saturday afternoon. And Tom Keynes, what's this game for us?
Final score at Heathbrook is Dudley King Swinford 7, Loughborough Students 46. After a gritty first half, DK finally found gear. Nichols with a great pass to Jasper Smith, who made good yards before being tackled in the 5. Scrum half, Blackmore picked up the pieces to place the ball over Loughborough's try line. The kick also converted by Mann to get DK back into the game at 7-10. The comeback was short-lived, however, as Loughborough capitalised on a cheap penalty kick to make it 7-13, extending their lead. Another sucker punch by Loughborough on 52 minutes as DK's defence continued to leak holes. Flanker Fay with blistering pace to make it 7-18, again converted by Meredith to make it 7-20. DK's luck continued to worsen after Foster's tackle was ruled to the side and was therefore binned for his efforts. Nichols had to fill in at flank, but now a man down, things went from bad to worse for the home side as Loughborough's Charlie Breyer spotted a gap to get himself on the scoreboard. Once again converted by that man, Meredith. The game now at 7:25 to the Travellers. 5 minutes later, Loughborough's Reese Malone flew over the try line and had a go himself with the kick, which soared through the post to take the score to 7:32. Grey clouds now formed overhead on 60 minutes, which pretty much summed up this DK second half performance as Loughborough's Tamiwa entered play from the bench, carrying well to grab himself a try. Morgan added the extras to make it 7:39. Thoughts were with the ref on 65 minutes, who found himself at the centre of a pylon. That will hurt in the morning. DK started to find their shape as Foster rejoined his teammates with 10 minutes from time. This didn't seem to faze the visitors, however, who worked a strong maul on DK's try line. The Spaniard Picciardi finishing another good attack. Meredith back on the kicks to convert. The score now at 7:46. Lots of bemused faces in the DK side as the full-time whistle blew. A game of two halves, really. DK knew they'd be in for a tough game coming up against a team who finished strong last season, but 3 losses from 3 was not the plan after promotion last year. Perhaps one too many new players have come into the side and maybe disrupted the flow. Attention now turns to next week's long away trip down to Exeter, but today the score finished DK 7, Loughborough 46.
Tompkins reporting there, and DK find themselves bottom of the table. That's National League 2 West, just 2 points from 3 games, and bottom on by 1 point actually, and points difference from Newport Salop. After the game, our reporter Tompkins spoke to Dudley King Swinford player Cal Nichols about the game and the defeat that happened on Saturday.
So here we are at Heathbrook. I'm here post-game with DK's number 8, Cal Nichols. Cal, thanks for joining me. Not the result you'd have hoped for today. What do you think went wrong?
I think the team clarity was a bit of an issue today. We had a game plan, and at half-time we said we'd stick to it. We'd come out the blocks firing, got a try. Unfortunately, fitness was a bit of an issue, but we're still a very fit team. I just think we didn't work cohesively as a team, unfortunately.
And yeah, like you say, it felt like a game of two halves, really. You plenty of possession first half, and you got the early try second half. So how come momentum didn't carry on from there?
It happened to us previous week. Once we get a yellow card, we lose our momentum. And then in this league, you go to 14 men. They literally just capitalise on everything you do. You can't make mistakes. And they're very, very good at compounding errors as well. Our discipline has to massively improve, otherwise we will be going back down.
It's now 3 losses from 3. What do you think DK need to do to kickstart their season and turn this form around?
I think there's a few factors what we need to do. We need to improve on our ability to move the ball. We need to work as a forward unit and a backline cohesively. We also need to stop the discipline. Like, our discipline was awful today, and we need to keep the penalty count below 20, maximum 10 if we can. These yellow cards are killing us. They scored like 3-4 tries while our man was off. Same week in, week out, really. Cut the yellows, a massive improvement.
Thanks, Cal. Hard luck today. Best of luck for next week.
Better news, though, however, for Stourbridge Rugby Club. They eventually beat Old Halsonians by 36 points to 16, but they didn't make it easy for themselves, with Old Halsonians 16-0 up at one stage in their Regional 1 Midlands game. The result means that Stourbridge are in second place in the table. They are behind Oxford Harlequins on points difference at the moment. As for other teams in that division, Bridgnorth currently in 8th place, somewhat surprisingly for me, having lost 2 games so far this season, and Old Halsonians in 11th, with yet to score a single point this season. Bridgnorth, incidentally, were defeated by just 1 point at home by Bromsgrove by 23 points to 22. Anyway, victory for Stourbridge Rugby, and Keith Horsfall caught up with Director of Rugby Neil Mitchell after the game.
So, my friend, terrible first quarter, pretty good second three quarters.
Yeah, 36 unanswered, that's, but again, it should be, you know. You know, no doubt about it, every single Old Halsonian player wanted to win today. You know,
they did.
They showed the passion and they showed some guts. Every breakdown they were there, and we were slow to it. We didn't clear the ball. We didn't win any first phase. We talked about getting 8 phases to score. I think we made 2-3 phases in the game. So, bottom line is it wasn't good enough. Halftime was not a not one of my finest moments.
I bet you quite enjoyed the halftime talk.
Yeah, well, I did.
but they did. A different team second half.
But at the end of the day, that's where we are. And again, we're going to face that every week. Every week, you know, we're the ones to beat. Even the referee said to me before the game, you know, you'll be going up this year. I mean, that's an expectation. Is that his anticipation? So bottom line, you know, it's going to get harder. And again,
but they've got to understand that, haven't
they? And we don't have the same team every week. Next week, it's different again.
Yeah.
I just, you know, because guys living a long way. Lewis Burley got here today after a 5-hour journey from Newport.
Yeah.
You know, this is where we're at. But
that's where we're at, though.
A win's a win. You know.
A win's a win, and Old Hill stuck at it. I mean, second half, territorially, we had about 10%.
Yeah.
But they couldn't break through. But that first 20 minutes was last year all over again, wasn't it?
But hopefully.
Well, win's a win. 3 on the trot. Well done, Mitch. Well done, Stourbridge. And onward we go.
Onwards and upwards. Home next week. See you next week.
Cheers next week.
That's Keith Horsfall talking to Neil Mitchell after the victory for Stourbridge Rugby at the weekend. And next Saturday, as it was mentioned there, Stourbridge at home again. They are at home at Stourton Park against Oxford Harlequins, who currently lead the table, and Old Halsonians even are at home next Saturday afternoon. They take on Banbury. That is just about it for this sportscast. I hope you've enjoyed it. Thanks for listening. Black Country Sport back Tuesday night on Black Country Radio, and again on Saturday afternoon, hosted by myself. Have a good week. Bye-bye.
Black Country Radio Sport.